I am Sarah Jane Case, and this is Enneagram and Coffee.
Hello, friends. Happy Wednesday. I hope your day is treating you well. Today, I am answering a question called into the podcast phone number on supporting a Type 7 friend going through a hard time. But first, today's Rosebud and Thorn. We're going to start with Thorn today because I left Chicago this morning and made two mistakes. First, I misread the time that I needed to be at the airport and left an hour earlier than I needed to. And second, I went to the wrong airport altogether. I always fly in and out of O'Hare, and I just always fly the same airline, and so I didn't even consider that they'd book me out of another airport, but apparently I flew into O'Hare and I was supposed to fly out of Midway, and I found this out at TSA when they couldn't get my boarding pass to scan. The TSA agent was very kind but told me to see if I could go get another flight, and then the agent at the front desk was like, honestly, you have plenty of time to get to Midway, and so I can't really give you another flight because technically you're fine. And so I just called a taxi and, you know, went on my way, went to another airport. Now, because of the first mistake where I was there an hour early, paired with the fact that, like, I am a grandpa, I love to get to the airport 2 to 3 hours before time. I just don't like to feel rushed. So because of that, I made it to Midway with 2 hours before I needed to board. So I got a great coffee. I was able to sit in a very comfortable table seat and write this podcast for you while looking out of a big, beautiful window at the rain falling outside. And my bud is that my husband and I are planning a cozy date night tonight. We got takeout and a movie, and I'm thrilled. Okay, let's hear from today's caller.
Hi, my name's Julie, and I'm an Enneagram 4. And one of my closest friends is an Enneagram 7. I have been studying the Enneagram for several years, and I feel like I have him pretty knowledgeable about it. He is still fairly new to the Enneagram and sort of to his self-awareness journey, but he is in a chapter of extreme stress that is being caused by things both outside of himself and inside of himself, but the biggest thing being that a lot of the stressors are things that he can't control or escape. And I see a lot of resources out there for sevens and other numbers who are in stress, but it tends to be things that are a little bit lighter. And I don't see as much material on how to navigate stress that you can't necessarily get out of, and to sort of be in that space, nor do I see very many resources on how to be supportive of somebody who is in that kind of chapter. I personally went through a very, very similar chapter to what he's going through myself, so much so that when I first typed, I typed as a 2. But that being said, he is a 7 and I am a 4, which I know you understand. And therefore, I don't know the best ways to support him and, to show up for him. So I'm just curious if you have any advice for that.
Thank you, Julie, for calling in. Now, I have layered answers for this. First, the work of being able to sit in pain and be comfortable with it is work that starts way before crisis hits. So we can get really comfortable with the small emotions so that we can handle the big ones. And this being said, I just probably wouldn't expect him to handle this perfectly because it sounds like he doesn't have a ton of practice. You know, our Enneagram types are our coping mechanisms, so he's likely to ramp them up as he attempts to cope. Now, with that in mind, sometimes what we can do as loved ones is just offer distractions and moments of lightness that can take his mind off of the hard things. For those sevens who are listening that would like to start practicing now so that they have some resources when crisis really does hit, it starts with meditation and being able to name and allow your emotions, being able to say them out loud and just watch them pass. Sometimes I keep a feelings journal where I write down hour for hour how I feel each day, and that allows me to really notice and see how much our feelings do really come and go. And this pain that I think is going to last forever is probably going to be gone in about 40 minutes if I just let it run its course. Now, additionally, as a 7 who went through an inescapable grief while married to a type 4 husband, I will say that he was the exact thing I needed just by being himself. He let me be in pain without judgment. He encouraged me to cry. He gave me space to cry in private, but reminded me that I didn't have to be alone. He encouraged me to feel my feelings and didn't judge me when I made a mess of it. The way he loved me in the times that I felt the least lovable, as a 7, that's when I'm not light and fun and cheerful, allowed me to access more love and grace for myself in that space as well. I'm going to end this episode specifically with an essay that I wrote for my upcoming book, kind of on that topic, but I'm going to put it at the end so that it's kind of like off the center of this episode, but I just want you guys to get a sense of it and what it was like for me. Now, even for the 7s who've been on the growth journey for a while, inescapable pain is going to be scary, and we may need some of those resources to keep us safe. I think about my interview with Chichi Agoram, where she said sometimes we need our armor, and the goal is to recognize when we put our armor down and when we may want to keep it up. Now, she specifically is talking to people of color, but I think it's relevant here as well. Sometimes when we are in the thick of it, our armor may be the easiest way we have to survive. But it's helpful to ask ourselves and our loved ones, is there another type on the Enneagram that would handle this in a way that caused less suffering for yourself? And can we operate as them today? It's so lovely that you're here asking this question. And honestly, the short answer after all of this explanation is that you're likely exactly what he needs right now. Just focus on letting him feel his feelings and not being focused on fixing them, because he's doing enough of that for himself already. And as I promised, I'm going to read a quick little essay for you. It may not be actually that quick. I'm going to read you a full essay from my book. So if that's not something that you want right now, I understand. It'd be a good time to go. But if that is something that you're craving, then stay tuned. I'll pull that up for you. You know, as a culture, I think we've come a long way when it comes to our hair care and our skin care and the things that we're putting on our body. And one of the ways in which that is never been more true for me is in my hair care process. If you could read the ingredients of the things that I used to use on my hair, you would be shocked. And that is why I'm so excited to work with Function of Beauty, because your hair is so unique and products that address its specific needs are incredibly helpful. That's where Function of Beauty comes in. It's the world's first fully customizable hair care that creates individually filled shampoos, conditioners, styling, and treatment formulas based on your hair now, but also where you want it to go. It was founded by a dream team of engineers and cosmetic scientists, so each Function of Beauty product is individually designed to be as unique as you are. Now, I personally got the dye-free with the coconut scent, and I'm obsessed with the scent. And my hair is kind of dry. It can get a little frizzy. I have kind of a natural wave to it. And so I wanted something that was super hydrating, but also didn't make me feel weighed down. I wanted that volume, but I also wanted it to be hydrated. And they delivered. So here's how it works. First, you take the quick hair quiz, build your hair profile, and select your 5 hair goals. So maybe that's lengthen, volumize, oil control, or are you like me and your hair gets frizzy but oily at other times? Function formulations are meant to be changed when your needs change. So maybe you get frizzy in the winter but oily in the summer. They've got you. So choose your color and fragrance, or go dye-free like I did, or you can even go fragrance-free, which you do you, but I will say I want that coconut scent. I want it. It smells so good. Then get your freshly filled formula delivered straight to your door and prepare for good hair days ahead. Say goodbye to generic hair care for good today. Go to functionofbeauty.com/egram to get your hair goals quiz, and you'll save 25% on your first order. Go to functionofbeauty.com/egram and let them know you heard about it from our show, and you'll get 25% off your first order. That's functionofbeauty.com/egram to take your hair quiz and save 25% on your first order. Thank you, Function of Beauty, for supporting the podcast. Okay, so I lied to you. This is actually not from my book. I just remembered writing this, and it was actually for a writing little like writing competition we did. It was like a micro fiction piece. So this is actually fiction, but I wrote in it a real thing that happened with my husband. So sorry, I lied to you. This is not from my upcoming book, but this is something I wrote about him. So, his ghost is everywhere, comforting and cruel in places we used to go and all the first I'll have to do alone. Unloading groceries from the car, plastic handles digging into my arms. I waited for the predictable sound of his footsteps running to meet me at the door. His absence was cold, washing over my skin like the wind was made of glass. I'll be emptying the car alone. Everyone seems to say the same things. Grief is a bitch. But they can't hear the way it haunts me when I forget that he's not there, and this anvil I am tied to is heavy, sinking me deeper into the murky waters of my pain. He was the first person I ever truly broke down in front of. Once, while angry, I threw my favorite candle holder. The crash woke me, and I looked up like a child waiting to be scolded. He simply said, "Oh, sweet girl," and we picked up the pieces together. I tried to escape the prison of my bed today. "Take a shower," they said, "you'll feel better." I've lost track of time, and my hair is starting to knot. I made it to the bathroom floor, a crumpled heap. The anvil grows heavier, and the floor is cool to my skin, but I feel him, warm and comforting, a whisper in my ear. "You're doing great, sweet girl. We'll pick up the pieces together." That got me emotional, because that is the story of the candlestick holder. Is a true story that happened after my dad committed suicide. I came, I went away for a week to kind of grieve and be alone. And when I came home, honestly, was just so angry and sad. And, I don't even know what happened. I can't even remember what triggered this, but like I threw a candle holder that I loved onto the ground and then immediately just felt like so embarrassed. Like, this is not what I do. You know, I am someone who regulates their emotions, you know. I am like happy seven energy. I don't do this, you know. So when I threw it, I looked up expecting my husband to kind of be like, what's going on with you? You're acting crazy. But instead, he just kind of looked at me with compassion and was just like, "Oh, sweet girl." And then he picked up all the pieces for me, and just like loved me in that moment. And I think that that's the kind of thing that we can give to our sevens that is so rare and scary, because we tend to hide those rougher parts of ourselves, you know, and grief really breaks that open and doesn't really let you hide. But, being loved when I acted in a way that felt like the least lovable way I could be. It changed the way that I interacted with myself, if that makes sense. Woo, the feelings. Okay. All right, that's all I got for you today. I will see you tomorrow, as always. I look forward to chatting with you about parenting as an Enneagram 4.